ucradio.org. Look under newest programs. You can also subscribe to weekly podcasts. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.
This is WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial and streaming live at weft.org. Time of Useful Consciousness airs every Thursday at 5 p.m. on WEFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfer Billy Freakout at 6, Alter Ego in the Evening at 7, Roots Rock Reggae at 8, and Get In Your Jammies at 10. You're going to get a four-hour block of our friend Brian Teague tonight. He's doing Roots Rock Reggae and Get In Your Jammies. Without any further ado, I would like to let you know that Eric will not be in studio tonight for See You at the Show, but he did pre-record a half-hour program, so I'm going to get that started for you right now. Thanks again for listening to your community radio station, WEFT Champaign.
This is Eric Schacht with See You at the Show, and I am sitting down with Stars and A-Star and the director of the Taming of the Shrew, which is coming to the Station Theater this week. And when this interview is airing, it will be opening night. And Mindy, you will be in the dressing room, I assume. Mm-hmm. And Laura, you will be pacing somewhere.
Furiously, okay. In the lobby.
All right, so Laura Alcantara, the director of Taming of the Shrew, and Mindy mm-hmm. Smith, who is Catherine / Katarina / Kate. Which mm-hmm. one are you going by in the show?
Little column A.
All of the above.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
All names are used?
Yes.
Depends on who's talking smack.
It does. It really depends who. I mean, names are so important, and so it's kind of funny to pay attention to who calls me what mm-hmm. and when.
Which is interesting.
It took me probably two or three readings of the play before I realized that Matthew, who cut the script, hadn't just made a bunch of inadvertent typos and not decided what name to call me, but that was actually an intentional piece of the play.
Mm-hmm. Wow, because I kind of just said that as a joke because in researching so this, weird. I saw some people talking about Katarina, some people talking about Catherine, some people talking about Kate,
it is a plot device almost, thanks to Matthew Green, who mm-hmm. sliced and diced the script for me, because nothing stresses me out more than having to cut Shakespeare. Oh, God.
Yeah, we have a really, really exciting and good cut of this play. So it is not 3 hours long. Just let's put that out there.
I'm going to put it out there right now. We're looking at a tight 93 minutes, folks. 93 minute Shakespeare. That never happens.
Quick and dirty, as you like.
Quick and dirty Shakespeare. It's my favorite flavor. Definitely dirty.
Definitely quick.
Definitely dirty.
So to round out the naming thing, in the program, are there going to be slashes?
No. I don't think so.
No. Just Katarina.
Yeah.
Okay.
93 minutes. Does that mean we're going to have an intermission?
Yeah, you're still getting time for coffee, because mm-hmm. it's important.
And cookies and
potty break.
Mm-hmm. Right, in newly refurbished bathrooms.
Absolutely.
So another reason to come out to the Station Theater is you don't need to worry about going before and holding it, etc. So before we get into the fun stuff about what the show is, let's talk about when it is. I mm-hmm. said opening night was going to be Thursday. That's July 6th.
June 6th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boy, what if everybody missed the show by a month? That would be
June
sad.
6th.
Sad.
June 6th.
All the station evening shows start at 7:30. Mm-hmm. Now you're no exception, correct?
Exactly.
We have a three weekend run. Mm-hmm. Anything unusual with the schedule?
We are having two shows on our last day. We are doing a matinee and a 7:30 p.m., and there will be no show on the 16th, which is Father's Day. So we are not doing a Father's Day show, but we are substituting that matinee with a matinee on the 22nd.
Okay.
And then the show on the 15th is our benefit show for donors of the station. So we're the benefit show, which is really exciting.
But that's one of the two shows on the 15th. Right?
No.
Oh, there's only one show on the 15th?
Only one show on the 15th, and that's the benefit show for donors.
Yeah. Okay. And it's two shows on the 22nd.
Yep.
And that's, is that the closing day?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So you could do a matinee on closing, or you could
And you're going to love it so much, you're just going to want to have dinner and come right back.
You might as well. Who knows?
I've never done that before. As much as I think about my favorite shows at the station, and there are three shows that I've seen three times, but I never doubled up mm-hmm. on any show there or
I've
ever.
I've seen a couple of shows where I thought, if I had the dough, I would have just gotten a snack and came back and watched it all over again if I could have. Mm-hmm. And been like really depressed I couldn't.
Yeah.
I would love for someone to feel that way about this one.
Well,
make me happy.
I feel that way about this one.
You're a little biased, honey.
I'm super biased.
You know, there are some golf courses where you play them and you play around. And then there's a discounted rate if you want to do another round. So maybe that's something the station should think about with ticketing when there are two shows in a day, is the second viewing is discounted for super fans.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's something we could probably bring to the board.
Although it's so small in there, like, I don't know, there'd be somebody sitting there saying, oh, this is the part where she comes out and screams at him in a high-pitched voice. Actually, I've never had a spoiler happen in theater before.
Yeah.
So I don't think that would be a problem. But you guys are keeping very tight lips on this show, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Tight. Yeah.
We have an adaptation that I'm very excited about between the cut of the script that we have and the just the fantastic job that Mindy and Matthew are doing. I think we have something really special. I can't recall ever having seen a production of Shrew that turns out this way. Mm. But,
I mean, if you Google it, like, nobody has anything good to say.
Yeah.
About the show, if you try, like, I'll admit, when I first heard Laura talking about the show, it was not a bucket list show for me, but I wanted to work with Laura,
yeah.
And I wanted to do Shakespeare with her, because she is, like, all Shakespeare all the time in her brain, and so I read it again, and it wasn't until I reread it, and I read an article by Harold Bloom, where he kind of talks about the Kate Petruchio nuance, and as soon as I did that, I was like, oh, man, if they don't pick this show, I'm going to cry so hard.
Lord, here we go.
I just want to do it so bad.
Yeah. Well, and it's, Mindy says this all the time, and it's true. I think you have to go into this show with taming in air quotes.
Yep. And shrew in air quotes, really, because if you look at the, I mean, if you Google shrew for, like, medieval times or something, there's this ridiculously creepy, like, horror movie style headpiece they would make these women wear. They would shave their heads, put this horrible thing on them, and parade them through the streets, Game of Thrones style, just for being, like, accused of being shrewish. It was like,
and
a shrewish, crime.
Shrewish could mean any number of things.
It
from,
meant having an opinion, usually.
Yeah,
I think.
Usually speaking
so,
your mind
yeah.
When people wanted you to not.
Yeah, because you were a gal and you should be zipped.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I mean, it's fascinating that just historically to look at the idea behind it. And Shakespeare is always so tongue-in-cheek and satirical anyways, I feel, that how could he, I feel like how could he have meant it? If you read a lot of Shakespeare and, like, get him, how could he have meant it any other way?
Well, the thing that's interesting to me is to look at the way, because you've said some very serious things, and yet this is a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing I'm super curious about, seeing how this works, because if it is going to take something that is serious, and yet we're going to be laughing a lot, and we have to form our opinion on some sort of, you know, gender treatment and that sort of thing. I feel that's all a very complicated task for you. Or maybe it was a complicated task for Matthew. Let's explore the cut angle of it. Because I've never even heard of that happening. Is that typical?
Oh, yeah.
Cutting down Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Otherwise, you end up, I know they're doing King Lear on Broadway right now, and that thing's running like 3.5 hours.
Yes.
I don't need anybody to sit in the theater for 3.5 hours. I did love August Osage. Sorry, Matthew. But that was a long show. I don't need two intermissions with my Shakespeare.
Yeah. So as a director, when you get the rights, to Shakespeare come with some sort of a license?
Oh, there's no rights. That is the beauty of Shakespeare. That is why you can do so many different things with it. Because all of Shakespeare's works are public domain. When it was created, there was no copyright.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, there's never been any sort of an estate for his descendants or family that decided that they needed to have copyright placed on any of his works. So you can take a copy of the show, slice and dice as you see fit, and present it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I guess
as
an intellectual property lawyer, I probably should be aware of that, considering the expiration of copyright laws and the fact that he was writing this
so
almost 500 years ago.
490, something like that.
Primarily, too, a lot of the reason for our cut, aside from just time-wise, is that there's, like, 100 useless characters, and when you're in a space like the station that's so tiny, you can't have a cast of 30 people where there are just servant characters who come on for a minute and don't even have a line, or there's, like, a townsperson scene. I mean, if you're making a movie, fine, you kind of want to have filler people, but in the station, you want you want to pare it down to the bare necessities.
You want it to be concise.
Yep.
And I think that's what we have. We have a very concise, easy to follow script.
Every character is super important. I mean, can't do it without the characters we've got.
So you have 11 characters, is that right?
Yep, 11 people on stage. And yeah, that's, we've got something that's sharp, we've got something that's funny, and we've got something...
It's so funny. It's so much funnier than I remember.
To be fair, the most of the comedy from Shakespeare comes from jokes about human anatomy. I know Shakespeare has this, like, high, lofty position in the world of the theater, but... Can I say dick?
Well, if we're talking about Richard...
There are a lot of jokes regarding male anatomy in most of his comedies.
He's a potty mouth.
Yeah.
I'll just put it out.
Shakespeare's a dirty old man, and I never understood why he's got this high, lofty position. Like, the language is beautiful, I'll give it that much. This, like, we've got poetry from Shakespeare that I don't think anyone else could have created.
But anything, if you say it with a British accent, sounds fancy. And
yeah.
It's from Britain, so I think it just, we got used to hearing it with fancy voices.
Yeah.
And thought it was fancy, but it's dirty.
It's
just
dirty.
For the people.
There's a, like, the people that saw Shakespeare were the folks that were paying, like, tuppence to stand on the ground and, like, eat oranges and occasionally, like, throw scraps at the people on stage.
And
they
those
sucked.
Were the people who could see the nuances that were happening as well. So, like, even when upper nobility would come and see theater, they were seated up in positions of visibility so that they could be above everybody else, right? But the...
And be seen by other people.
The lower class folks were right on the ground, right there, almost a part of the action. They're the ones who could really catch more of the, like, nuances of gestures or facial expressions, and they're probably the ones that these inside jokes are for, because not everybody who's raised, like, super hoity-toity was maybe going to know that that was a jab and not a serious, like, we love the monarchy. No, it was like, yeah, we love the monarchy, whatever, you know? So there's a lot of, I think, subtext happening. And I said from the beginning, this show, what's on the page, what we're given to use, even before the cutting, is, like, 30% of the story. 70% of what we're doing in this story is subtext.
Yeah. Well, and you get, like with current plays, you're going to get very specific notes from the director. You'll see that in just about anything that you crack open. It's like they tell you what to focus on with your acting, what to focus on where you take your direction, specifics on props, specifics on lighting, specifics on everything. With Shakespeare, we have the words on the page and maybe some exit lines.
And he will throw a lot of information in. There's not a lot as far as stage direction or props or things like that, but he will throw a lot more information in the dialogue than what is sometimes included. So he gives you a lot of stuff to go on, but it's all up to interpretation. And if you're not looking for it, or if you're not open to it, or if you don't kind of dig a little bit deeper, you don't find the magic and the nuance that is right there for you.
And if you don't want to use it, you cut it out.
Yeah.
That's what I did. That's what Matthew did. That's what I've done. Like, if there's, you also end up with a lot of very specific jokes and very specific anecdotes that were about the time. So we're not going to know what they mean anymore.
Yeah.
Why would I put in a monologue regarding, like, the health of the queen at the point in time when this was written, when it doesn't make sense anymore?
And if it doesn't drive the action forward, it's not integral to character development for somebody, why?
Yeah.
Why keep it?
So that's my favorite thing about Shakespeare. You can do whatever you want to it.
So when you said before that there was so much subtext, that you brought into this show, how is that subtext brought out by you as a director, Laura? Or is it your cast that's finding it themselves?
I mean, I have a basic idea of where I want the show to go. And I provide those ideas. And as we rehearse, like there have been times where Mindy or Matthew or Jordan, who plays Bianca, or Wes, who plays Lucentia, will be like, what if this... And we try it, and if it works, that's great. And if we don't, we move on.
A lot of it is, as well, like, just getting used to each other as a cast, I think, and having that trust as actors to just,
like,
deliver a line differently the next time. Because if you're me, you're not sleeping anymore. You're just thinking about different ways to deliver your lines. and, well, how could I get this across better? Or how could I make sure that this is communicated? How could this be a little bit more such and such, whatever? And so then you just go in the next time and you try something different, and you don't feel that flexibility or that freedom if you don't have that sort of trust built with your scene partner. And I think everyone in this cast has been, A, really good about showing up on the first rehearsal and just letting it fly, mm-hmm. and just trusting Laura to pull us back if something got too ridiculous or too out there. But just like, and you really gave us the space, especially that first like week and a half, to just play and be stupid if we needed to be, mm-hmm. like, until we start to find where are the true lives of these people at? Because you kind of have to be willing to look stupid to find magic moments.
Yeah. And I think that's important, not just with this particular show, but in general. I think you need to have the freedom to play, at least at first. Because otherwise, like, what fun is it if you're crammed into a box when you start going into rehearsal? Mm-hmm. Like, you want to be able to find the path to your character on your own, mm-hmm. With guidance. And I am here for guidance.
Well, you've got a great cast.
And yeah, I do.
It's a very...
So yeah, I do.
It's a very veteran cast.
Yeah.
If somebody has gone to see pretty much any show in Champaign-Urbana in the last 3 years, they were almost guaranteed to have seen somebody.
Not even just
cast.
3 years, like probably within the past like 5 to 6, maybe even the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also very like extroverted, interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
People capable of very interesting characters. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to psychoanalyze anybody, but it's really fun. I can't wait to see Jordan Needham. What is Bianca's role like?
Jordan plays Bianca, who is Kate's younger sister.
Okay.
Because Kate has not been wed, Bianca is not allowed to go out and find love for herself. For those of you who don't know Taming of the Shrew, if anyone has ever seen the movie 10 Things I Hate About You, starring Heath Ledger, rest his soul, and Julia Stiles, it's basically the same plot.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a slightly overbearing father who says his youngest daughter cannot date until the oldest has started dating.
Mm-hmm.
So with Kate and Bianca, it's, well, your older sister's not married. Why the hell do you think I'm going to let you get married? So poor Bianca is bearing the brunt of Kate's stubbornness. Not that Kate isn't stubborn for a reason.
Yeah, everybody in town sucks, man.
Yeah.
There's just no good prospects.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that people forget, or at least that I hope we can remind them, is Kate's not just being difficult for the sake of being difficult.
Wait till you see him.
Yeah. She's being difficult because, like, people are giving her push,
mm-hmm.
for no reason. It's been decided that she's this awful person just because she won't sit down and shut up and look pretty. But yeah, Bianca is sort of the foil to Kate. She is sweet and feminine where Kate is hard and tough. Not that you can't be tough and feminine
no.
at the same time, but...
What do you think about 10 Things I Hate About You? I've got it here in my notes to ask you about. Did you think it did a good job?
I love that movie. It is spectacular.
Yeah.
It is honestly probably one of the best Shakespeare adaptations.
Yeah, it was super cute and effective,
They straight up steal lines from the script, which I super appreciate, because you're not going to know it unless you're a giant dork like me. But yeah, I thought it was a really effective adaptation, and it gets the point across,
mm-hmm.
and plus you've got, you know, baby Heath Ledger with those dimples. But yeah, I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of feelings about it.
So I've seen, I guess you posted some pictures of your set,
mm-hmm.
and so that's not a secret.
Nope.
That it's magically purple.
It is so purple.
It is purple and
amazing.
Pink, and there might even be some glitter mixed in with the paint.
Maybe a little.
Just a sprinkling. Yenvi wants to put more in. Yenvi is our stage manager. Hi, Yenvi. I love you.
Yes, more glitter. Go with your gut.
we've got a little bit of the costuming out.
Yes, very minimal.
Mm-hmm. because we don't want to spoil the surprise on that, because there's some moments that I want people to, like, experience when they go and see the show.
I will say, without giving any specifics, Laura and I are already divvying up accessories and Kate's clothing articles, like, by the time, for when the show ends, we've already sort of, called dibs on a few things.
Mm-hmm. So Susan Curtis is doing your costuming?
God bless Susan.
Thank goodness for Susan. She's amazing. She took on our project in the midst of a very busy schedule.
And not just took on, but, like, took it and ran. I was just like, Susan, if you could just help me find a couple of pieces and I'll figure it out. And the next thing I knew, she's, like, custom making us stuff. And I'm like, oh, girl.
She
all right, Susan.
Like, yeah, if she costumes your show, her whole soul goes into it, and you are the better for it.
Yes.
Like, it is a gift to have her on our team right now.
Yeah. Well, I had the Curtis family on last week's show.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And that was really neat because they're an all-in kind of family.
Yep, they really are.
That was
go
the fastest.
Home.
Yeah.
That show was the fastest half hour of my life because I was trying to. I don't know if my voice was heard at all. They were so wonderful, but I could tell she was super excited about getting to do the costuming, and I've seen the set, and I've seen a couple of the costumes, and I've seen your hair be magically high.
Mm-hmm. So big.
The higher the hair, the closer to God.
That's right. Not that Kate's that worried about it. I'm not sure how Christian Kate is.
Nah.
Wow, I'm so curious about
that. But yeah, we have very specific inspiration for this show. Purple One himself.
Yeah.
Prince. And that was decided because I've been in love with Prince since I was about 10 or 11 years old, before I probably should have been listening to his music, to be perfectly honest. But he always had this spectacular duality about him. He's very much, like, masculine. Like, he's a man. He's a bit of a misogynist with the way he treats the women in his videos and the women in his songs. But at the same time, you have all these beautiful love ballads, like She's Always in My Hair and even Purple Rain, if you want to be really kind of basic about it. And it's that juxtaposition that I really wanted to play with in the show itself.
Right.
Our show is both basic and extra all at once.
All at the same time.
And it's glorious. Not to be missed. I'm seriously, everybody I talk to, I say, if you think you know this show, I promise you, you don't know our show.
Mm-hmm. I've got.
And it is an experience with a capital E.
Yeah, I've got people getting in touch with me, like friends who have since moved out of town who've seen me directing this. They're like, wait a minute, tell me about the thing. What's the twist? There's got to be a twist, right? There's a twist. I've gotten lots of all caps screaming via text message and or Facebook Messenger if I let a little bit slip. So people are excited.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're people who are out of town. But I hope everybody else in the area gets excited about it.
Mm-hmm. So we will leave the theater. What will our thought be?
I just want people to have a good time.
We will be amazed. Okay, so it'll be fun.
I want people to have fun.
Yes.
That is my...
Come away loving Shakespeare, loving show.
And if not, I mean, if you're not automatically in love with it, at least you might have, like, you might have a better idea of what it's supposed to be like.
Maybe a more open heart or mind about.
Yeah.
Well, so somebody sees Taming and somebody sees Shrew and somebody Googles the show, and what do you say to them to other than just give me a chance on faith? What?
It's not what you think it is. It really isn't. And I'm sorry that this is going to sound snooty, but a lot of people have gotten it wrong because they have made it boring. They have gone with the surface level, easy road of taking what is in front of them and just plopping it out on the stage. And we did not go easy. If you read it with a creative mind, mm-hmm. and you think about satire and you think about social commentary, mm-hmm. and how theater is the place for that, then how can you want to put on a boring show where Petruchio's just a, like, bully misogynist and Kate is kind of a bee and, like, just hates everybody and is mean all the time? How do you put out those static characters when you're trying to make something that is art?
Yeah.
How do you do that? I mean, our story is so interesting. Our characters are so much more human.
And that's the important thing. It's the human.
They are flawed.
Full disclosure, like, up until I started working with Matthew and Mindy, like, Petruka has never been my favorite character. He's a jerk. He's a big,
he's a
swaggering, loud mouth, cock of the walk jerk. And that's all I've ever seen produced, and that's all I've ever seen played with that character. But I honestly think Matthew has found a way to make him not only human, but, like, borderline likable. Like, you might actually walk away from part of this kind of rooting for him.
Wow.
And for Kate. I mean, I'm always going to root for Kate, because I love a loudmouth girl.
Mm-hmm.
Have you met me? Kate's always been one of my favorite characters, but, again, Mindy has made her... Yes, she's strong and she's opinionated, but Mindy also allows her this really wonderful vulnerability, which I think is really important. Like, it's allowing these characters to be humans and not just characters.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like across the board, too, because we've got some people playing parts that are very character-y, and they have had to, like, sort of find the nuance for them, even, you know, like, some of the suitors could be very one note, and none of ours are. I mean, everybody in this cast is, like, finding the people behind the caricature that's potentially there. So
you found it satisfying to play this role, and you come away from the show feeling like you haven't been beat up by the world.
Well, after playing Madeline in Lockerbie.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking.
A pretty rough life go there for a minute.
Yes, you've been dark. You've been
I'm
down.
Having the most fun with this part. And like I said, Kate was not a bucket list. I mean, when Laura was first like, I wonder what she'd be like as Kate and Tame in the show, was sort of like, oh, the lead? Well, I always want to do the lead. Whatever's got the biggest part, the most time on stage, the most lines. And Kate doesn't have the most lines. Petruchio easily is carrying the burden of the lines on his back. She kind of saves hers up and talks for a while at the end. But I knew as soon as I read it again, my first thought was, holy moly, this is going to be a challenge to make her not boring.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see that there was a lot of material there and a lot of opportunity. You have to have a director who's willing to let you play and who's willing to let you not push for the obvious. I think just sometimes people go for the obvious because they're like, well, people are going to know it for these several things, and we don't want to disappoint, like, people who are fans or whatever and not give them what they're expecting. And Laura has been the op. She's like, whatever you guys are bringing in, let's roll with it. If something doesn't work, she's a very solid way of asking a question and making you, I mean, you're not a bossy director by any means. You're not like, no, except maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
If we get super ridiculous.
if it goes from like the sublime to the ridiculous, I'm just like, guys, I'm going to need you to crank it back to like an 8.
Yeah. You don't let us drive the train off the tracks, but
no.
You'll let us take a different track for a minute. But yeah, it's just been, I've been so happy working on this. I mean, it's literally consumed all of my thoughts.
I get text messages from this girl at like 2 in the morning.
I think I might have Fashion Week costumed the show like 10 times over with an unlimited budget, and just Laurel wake up to 7 image texts of this. She's created a bit of a monster.
Like, Mindy, if literally anyone else was texting me at 2 in the morning, my husband would get suspicious.
Yeah, the theater can be another spouse, Candy.
A little bit, yeah. But
this is probably like, what costume item is she sending you a picture of tonight?
Yeah. Well, I've also shanghaied Luis into managing the board for us, so he's on deck for the next 3 weeks, making sure things run smoothly. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart, indeed. All right. Well, I now am way more excited about the show.
Yay.
It's definitely in great hands, and you know, the show right after you is Beauty and the Beast that opens in town, and I'm kind of thinking of this show being a little bit like if there was no Beast, and then if Gaston kind of like one bell, like made Bell stop being interesting. But then that would be the one version that you didn't make of the show.
Yes, yeah. I will tell you, nobody gets less interesting at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Let's at least say that, right? If anything,
yeah,
nothing gets less interesting.
Well, thank you for coming on. See you at the show. And I look forward to getting to talk more about it after.